Good morning. As quick as possible, I'm going to try to share with you God's faithfulness during our week in Guatemala. Some of you might remember when Shane Sanderson visited our church in April a year ago, and immediately after the service, Curtis and Colin started begging to go to Guatemala. And we took several of the pictures Shane handed out of the kids at the orphanage, including this group photo. I've carried this picture in my purse, my Bible, and have had one in my vehicle ever since. And the boys put pictures of the kids up on our fridge and in the room. Those of you who are parents can attest that there's times you do something because your kids want to, even though you'd rather not. And initially, that's why I committed to going to Guatemala, because my boys wanted to. And, you know, what parent would want to deny their children the opportunity to serve the Lord? I've traveled on and off through the years, primarily for my job, but traveling is not something I enjoy. Prior to going to Guatemala, I had only traveled once internationally, and that was to Germany a couple years ago. And let's just say it was one of the most miserable weeks of my life. Several weeks before going to Guatemala, I was reading in Exodus 13 about when Pharaoh let the Israelites go and God led them through the wilderness. In verse 21, it says, "The Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to lead them on their way during the day and in a pillar of fire to give them light at night so that they could travel day or night. The pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night never left its place in front of the people." God went ahead of the Israelites, and he does the same for you and me. From that point on, any fear or anxieties I had about going was replaced with infinite peace. Our first morning in Guatemala, Shane shared our focus for the week ahead, which was threefold: to share the gospel and God's truth, to love on the kids at the orphanage and schools and the people of Guatemala, and to allow God to work through us and see him at work. I'm going to quickly go through some pictures to show you God's faithfulness in our focus and how we saw him at work. So we had the opportunity to share the gospel and God's truth basically any time we were in front of people, but specifically on Sunday morning in the market, as Noah talked about last week, while the kids from the orphanage literally just walked up to people when we were there to pray over them in that situation. And then when we were at the schools, we played games to get the kids' attention. And then the boys of our church, every school we went to, so six different times, they were part of a puppet show, which meant that they held puppets up for three songs. And as you can tell, their hands got rather tired and they were supporting them, but they complained very little for doing that when none of them had any experience doing that. But the puppet show, and then a character, Manny, talked about three of the fruits of the Spirit to the kids. And then all of the kids had the opportunity to share their testimony twice. And then Nick, with the help of Renee, our interpreter, shared a gospel message that had to do with the fruits of the Spirit. And then we, at one place in particular, that's an evangel cube, as Noah talked about last week, that they used to support the message. So that's just an opportunity how we had the opportunity to share the gospel and God's truth. When it comes to loving on the kids at the orphanage and school, you know, that's something not hard for me to do as a mom. But the kids loved having their pictures taken. It was amazing to see my kids just out in the crowd and having kids lean all over them, because they're not quick to do that when it's their brothers. And I got lots of hugs from little girls. I think by the second day, I've had more hugs from my own kids and other kids than I had my whole life combined. I got good at taking selfies, even, because they really enjoyed doing that. And again, more hugs. And again, just loving on the kids meant just doing life with them. The average age of the kids in the orphanage was 14, and the majority of them were boys, which Curtis turned 14 the week we got back. Of course, he's a little bit bigger than most of them, and when they picked on him, he would just throw them over his shoulder and pack them out. But again, it meant just doing whatever the kids wanted to do to, and you know, enjoy the evening. They are as much boys as our kids are boys, and they were competitive. They did not mind giving hugs, though, at the same time either. So we played lots of games where there was grass stains, there was running, there was sweat, there was stinkiness all involved, as is the case with boys. We did crafts, and the kids, even the older boys, enjoyed that too. We graciously lost 11-4 to soccer. I did not play. We even did dishes, and I should say some of these pictures are other people's photos too, but you know, that's something that made the week seem so very normal, was being able to do something that I do most days at home. And it was something that, you know, it's the Maria the cook cooked for at least 50 people every day, multiple meals a day. We used real plates. We used forks, knives, and spoons. There was no paper plates, none of that. And so being able to do dishes was a way to love on her and the people in the orphanage just to help out. We were able to see God at work in multiple ways, but some of them was just seeing the kids raise their hand while we were singing to Jesus. And, you know, every single time, it just, I'm not someone who tends to raise my hands or outwardly do that sitting in the pew, but last Sunday I did. I found myself doing it without even thinking about it, because these kids had no second thoughts when it came to praising Jesus. And then to see their little hands folded in prayer, was just, I had to open my eyes during prayer to see it, because it was just one of the sweetest things ever. And then to see the droves of kids that would come up when we gave, you know, basically an invitation, you know, I just pray whatever God was doing at that time, that they are the change that is needed for their family, that the fruits of the Spirit that they learned about are what is needed to be the change for their little villages and their little families. We also had the opportunity to go to a hospital, and I hope someone else will talk more about that, because God was at work in incredibly tangible ways there. So I think Preston captured this picture, and I think it will forever be one of my favorite pictures for a lot of reasons. But, you know, missions in general is not something I've ever intentionally thought about. I went on a spring break mission trip, I think my sophomore year of college, with the Baptist Student Union at Mizzou, but that was the extent of my mission trip experience. I do appreciate Nick and Marcia's heart for missions, and it has served as an example and encouragement to me in the past few years. This scripture up here summarizes our week in Guatemala, but being on mission isn't something that should be limited to a week you spend visiting another community, state, or country. Being on missions doesn't mean you have to spend hundreds or even thousands of dollars to drive or fly somewhere. Being on missions doesn't mean you have to visit a group of people who look, speak, or live different than you. Being on missions is the state of your heart, your mind, your eyes, your hands, and your feet. It's waking up every morning and saying, God, use me, and then doing as he leads. The first two lines in our church motto, our passion is the gospel and our church is our family, come second nature to me most days. The third line, our world is our mission, has been more of a challenge to live out. Most days my world stretches from Callaway to Audrain County. And while that's certainly nothing wrong with that, there are times the Lord leads us to go where we've never been before. Sometimes you go because your kids want to. And then the Lord uses that opportunity to change your heart and to open your eyes. The people of Guatemala need Jesus, and I hope I can go back year after year to share Jesus with them. But you know what? The people I encounter every day need Jesus too. I don't know if I'd go so far to say my everyday life is routine, but I've gotten pretty good at going through the motions, trying to keep up with four boys and a husband, keep them fed and clothed, while keeping up with their activities, and then minding my professional career. I was exactly where Satan wanted me to be, so preoccupied and comfortable with life as my mission that I wasn't allowing the Lord to leave. It took a week away from my everyday life to realize the rut I was in. I want my passion to be the gospel, our church to be my family, and the world, in every sense of the word, to be my mission. Our mission trip to Guatemala has renewed my focus on waking up every morning and making missions top of mind. I want my eyes, ears, hands, and heart to be actively looking for ways to be on mission, and I pray the Lord leads that for you as well.